The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it, as it, we do appreciate it very much. Always grateful for making us part of your morning. We don't take that for granted. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Still to come this hour, Frank Schwab from Yahoo. Our old buddy Frank Schwab. Got a lot of old buddies on the show today.
That's right.
Yeah. Really appreciate their making the time. So Frank Schwab, will talk NFL with him. But first, ladies and gentlemen, he is not here on site, but he is in New York City. I think he's in New York City. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. No intro? No intro. Okay. Bill Krakenberger, everybody. Oh, look at this. Look at this guy.
We're good.
Where are you? What parking lot are you in?
You know, I could be anywhere. I mean, it really is true. I have to get a brown shirt. I'm going to Teddy Atlas's charity event tonight in Staten Island, and I need a brown T-shirt. So I just ran out, and I said, you know what? I have my days all planned out. I'm sorry. But I could be anywhere for you guys. This is like I wouldn't do this with a gutter in the background. I mean, who else would do something like this at all?
I appreciate
at all time,
that.
I could be anywhere. Yeah, I am in. Actually, I'm in Toms River, New Jersey, Gil, and I'm heading to Staten Island. I just came down to see an aunt that I haven't seen in a couple of years. I wanted to spend some time with her, but you know, this is like a triple play of food. Also, there's always food in the mix. So, you know, stuff I can't get back east, like here, you could get. There's a place pretty close by called Brooklyn Square, which is a square slice of pizza, which is one of the best pizzas I've ever had. So I go there, and then as I'm driving up to New York, because, you know, when you go to one of these charities events, you get like, I'm not going to say like a cheap wedding food, but you get like a certain thing of food that, you know, it's like going to an event, everyone gets the same thing. And, you know, I'm over here only a couple of days. I want to make sure I get the right kind of food, you know? So,
yeah. New York City, yeah, Tom's
River. Make it a stop at a, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, New York City, Toms River, New Jersey, same thing. Was this, so you said it's for a Teddy Atlas event. Is this also get out of Dodge during the F1 race strategy as well?
Yes. It actually was. It was timed out perfectly. I flew in yesterday, and it was timed out perfectly where I could get out of town for a couple of days. But, you know, I seen some video last night from in town. Wow. That looked really cool. The video was from the corner of Harmon and Colville. I used to own a condo over there, actually, but a really cool corner where I guess the F1 was with the fireworks. And it looked really nice. It looks like they were doing a really good job. I haven't, and not only me, a lot of people haven't had too many good things to say about this F1 race and the way they planned this out and who greased whose pockets and stuff. But it looked like a nice thing.
I would never say such things. Yeah.
I'm still trying to find someone that was actually interested in going to it or watching it. Or it starts tomorrow. I don't even know. Is it Friday night?
Tonight?
Saturday night?
What night? Tonight is practice, which starts at, I think, one of these nights is midnight, but I think tonight might be 10 p.m. Tomorrow night is the qualifying, which I believe starts at midnight. And then Saturday is the actual race, which begins at 10 p.m.
Okay, so are you going to partake at all, Mr. Alexander, in anything?
Yeah,
or not really?
No, I am, because I said yesterday I gave in. I figured this was my calculus in my head. I figured the ease of use, if you will, the ease of watching it from my roof, just outweighed my moral principled boycott just enough where I gave in and I said I'm gonna watch it from my roof, a standing room only ticket. Yep, I'll be there.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you will see some of that. That, you know, listen, we've been tough on the race. Everyone has. All media sources, or everyone I know, I guess we should embrace it a little bit. It's here. At least I should say you guys should embrace it a little bit. It's in town. And
you're not going to bet. So you're not going to bet on it, Bill? You don't have any bets on this? Nothing? No?
No, nothing on the F1 race. No, but I'm sure there are odds around town. They're putting them up. I'm sure someone's copying someone else's odds, because I mean, there's no in-house bookmaker for F1. You know what? Now that I speak about that, people don't realize this. I get this all the time from people. there's no in-house bookmaker at 99% of the books. So people think it's like, oh, this book makes their lines for the games. This book makes their lines for the games. This book. No. One or two sports books make the line, and the rest of the country, even the new legal books that came to the country, the ones that are in Vegas, they all copy the line off somebody else. Now, there is a couple of times, maybe even like Circle will put up a certain line for something. South Point was putting up some college basketball lines originally. So there are sports books that do put up the line, but there's no in-house bookmaker that's putting up a line for anything. As soon as like the DraftKings of the world came to the country, that all changed. By the way, I don't even know how they do it. I don't know how DraftKings, they put up a line on a lot of things first. I don't know where they get the line. I don't even know how much they take on the line, but they are first to market on a lot of things. So at the counter, if we had a DraftKings in Las Vegas, like I can go to like Foxwoods, and they have a counter there. They would take probably a dime on their openers from me. They're pretty good with me at the counter. So, Bill,
give us a...
People don't realize that. People think Las Vegas is the sports betting capital of the world. But
well,
anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, because mainstream media so flippantly says, Vegas says, right? And it gives the impression that things start from here.
Right.
Give us a sense of... Because you've come to us on this show from up and down the Eastern Seaboard. Really, from Augusta all the way to New York City, where you were parked illegally, and everywhere in between. South Carolina leaps to mind as well. What is it now? So on this trip, where will you be betting, and why will you be betting in the certain spots that you will be betting?
Yeah, this is a good question, because even when I go down to Florida and stay at Howie Schwab's down there in Hollandale.
That's right. You've been in Florida with us.
I don't go there this time of the year. I don't go there this time of the year because I can't bet anywhere. So now I'm here and there's betting there. I am a little bit interested. Maybe I'll talk to my Florida friends here on Twitter. I'd like to know what's going on down there. I really haven't looked into it too much, but I would love to be at, by the way, it's freezing here. Even though it's 60, it's just cold 60. I like being, and this is the things I do for you. Anyway, I like being in Florida a lot during like March Madness. Not the first two rounds, I like to stay in Vegas. The first two weekends even, and I'll go when it's down to the Sweet 16, I like going down to Florida, but there's nowhere to bet down there. So, I like to know what's going on down there. This particular weekend, I'm going to be here. But you know what? I'm actually taking an early morning flight out, 8 in the morning. So I'll be in Vegas at 10 a.m. on Saturday. I have to be back in my studio, my home studio, to do the Fox show on Sunday. But this particular weekend, I'm not really doing too much in the early morning of Saturday. And yeah, I have a couple apps here. I like to go to the Meadowlands and terrorize FanDuel if I could. Atlantic City has fell apart for me a little bit. The sports books there are just nothing like it was. Nothing like it was last year, or even 2-3 years ago. It was unbelievable. Speaking of which, you know, I used to have these VIP hosts. Didn't really talk about them too much. Thought they were going away. Now I hear they're back. So not that they were ever away, but they're more aggressive now. Now, what I mean by that is DraftKings has them. All the big companies that came to the country have them. They'll have a VIP host for their VIPs. Now, what I mean by that is that's someone that's betting a lot of money, losing a lot of money, tens of thousands of dollars. It's really a big advantage to get one of these VIP hosts. And I'll tell you why. They offer bonus bets, maybe some kind of rebates, not volume discounts, but they offer some volume incentives. And, if you roll over your account so many times, maybe you deposit, you know, it don't have to be $50,000. But when I had it in Atlantic City, I had three different companies that were giving me sick deals. They'll never be like that again. I mean, literally deposit $50,000, get $25,000. It was just insane.
Good
real,
God.
Wow. Real money though, too.
Wow.
Not bonus bet either. You know, when you get a free bet, people think sometimes if you get a free bet, oh, wow, this is great. And it is great. But a free bet is usually worth less than half of the face value. That's not the way it is, though, with a lot of the VIP programs. So I just heard last night someone deposited $10,000 at a sports book, and then they got back. They got you know, almost $2,000, $1,750 in incentives, a little for a free bet, but also $1,500 real cash, betting dollars. And even DK has DK betting dollars. DK dollars is called. Real dollars. They're real. But once you bet it, roll it over, it transfers into real money. So that's good for the VIP programs. It's really good to get on one of those programs. And listen, let's be blunt. You don't get on one of those programs for being a winner, for being a sharp guy. So it's tougher for me to get on one of those programs. But if you're a player and you listen to the little nuggets and tidbits that, you know, we give out on this show, I give out on other shows, or there's guys much sharper than me that have podcasts and stuff on there. You could just, you know, you could be one of these VIP players. And last night, it really proved to me. A buddy of mine in Atlantic City got an offer for $10,000. It was two nights ago. $10,000. I was like, wow, what a sick offer that is. That's great for really a sports book that has tons of different incentives like DraftKings. So, and tons of different ways to bet games. Listen, out in Vegas, we don't have as many ways to bet games as the sites over here.
No, we do not. Always interesting, actionable information, betting tips. Take advantage of all those promos. Look around for all that stuff. And yes, we not available here necessarily in Nevada, but on the East Coast, boy, oh boy, they continue to be not quite as great as it was a few years back, but still available nonetheless. One more segment with the crack man, Bill Krakenberg, who comes to us, I guess, with his camera on top of his car. I don't know. We'll figure that out as well.
Yes.
That's next.
Yes.
Numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks. Betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up today for only $19 for your first month at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. Bill Krakenberger joins us from Tom's River, New Jersey. We do have a couple tweets here. Ryan Hyatt, relating to the crack segment here. Things you can't see outside the camera view of crack. A guy on payphone talking to Fast Eddie. Laundromat. food truck selling pierogies? Was it
pierogies?
Pardon me. I can't spell. Sorry.
Okay.
Pierogies. A U.S. senator from Oklahoma and a Teamsters boss. Two feral cats. I love the crack man. Wayne Geller, FYI, Hard Rock Sports Betting phone app is live now for people that had it 2 years ago in Florida. In-person betting starts at South Florida Seminole Casinos on December 7th. To answer your question, Bill. So thank you to Wayne on that.
Wait. So you can't go in person to bet right now?
Now you're asking me too many questions.
Yeah,
I got bad info then. I got really bad info. Wow. Okay.
You can be on
so
that
it's
one
not
site.
In person,
right? No.
It's just Hard Rock. I didn't know. I don't know about the in person.
That I knew.
Yeah, I don't know about the in person stuff, but the app is up and running statewide.
Yeah. App, Bill. App. Wow. I think that's the answer. You said you wanted to talk about some sports betting stuff. What was up on your mind?
Oh, yeah. No, my two buddies watch this show, too. They're going to be a little embarrassed. I'm not mentioning their names, but I got really pissed off at them. So I gave out a prop last night on the Sacramento Kings game, Fox over points and assists. So it was over 32.5, which was widely available at two different sports books, the big two sports books in Jersey at the time. They went to 33.5 and even a 34 last night. My buddy went to like Caesars or something. I got so mad, but I didn't say anything because you have to respect the line. You have to respect the number. You have to have multiple outs. I know people, a lot of people do this socially and they only have fun and they only have one place to bet and maybe a limited bankroll. I don't care. If you're betting sports and you have a bankroll, you should be dividing it up amongst sports books to have more places to bet. My own friends of, you know, one guy's 20 years casino veteran. I can't believe he knows gambling, knows about gambling, but doesn't shop lines. And I'm thinking that's the most part of America, and it's the most part of people in general. I'm not saying it's VEASAN people, because VEASAN people are usually more, a little more astute that watch the show. But it bothered me so much that these guys, you know, I got a win and they got losses, and it just bothered me. And I was like, you know, that must happen all the time where people just don't respect the line. And I'll tell you this. Listen, you can go over 33 in that spot because you're not going to get the loss. You're going to get the push. But you can't go over 33 and a half and 34. And it just bothered me. And I know that happens in all different sports for people. But you have to have the proper bankroll, and you have to have it divided amongst apps. I know it's not easy because your apps go up and down. But now there's many ways to finance. It's real simple to just push a button on all these different new jurisdictions to push a bank wire to your account.
Well, Bill, let me step in, because,
you know, I just wanted to talk about
it. Go ahead, what you're saying resonates very, very much, because I think the cousin to that, we always talk, what's our line? Everything in sports betting is a reflection of the human condition. So let's just take college basketball in-game lines. So Wishnev's been killing it, college basketball, and he's sending out some of the bets that he's making, just to give you a real-life example of this. And for whatever reason, last night, what he was sending out, I couldn't get the line that he was giving out on any of it, right? On multiple outs, even. Last night was just a strange night. It was the first night where this had happened. So the human instinct that we all fight in those moments, and this is like, you know, this is, everyone deals with this on a nightly basis who's betting seriously. The human instinct is there's a FOMO bit to that, right? There's a fear of missing out where you're like, oh, I didn't get in on it. Maybe should I take it at this number anyway? And the answer is always no, right? You should be disciplined enough. You're right. A half point, which would make it a push, is one thing. But if you can't get the number at which it is being recommended, or at which you should be betting something, you've got to be willing to let it go. And that, I think, is more than just the betting, the mechanics of the bet itself. That instinct and overcoming that instinct is the most important thing in all of this. Kelly deals with this on a daily basis too, as well, with some of these. You have to let certain bets go. And it's okay if other people win and you don't. You just have to live with that.
That's right. Perfect. That's the big part. It's okay to pass on bets. There's going to be plenty of more opportunities. Plenty. You know, I'll give away a little secret of the business here. I talked about this a couple times on your show, though. Live betting, oh my God, there's such great opportunities just to look at the sharper sportsbooks line that has the sharper algos against the slower moving sportsbooks. So if you have a slower moving sportsbook, maybe like a station's in town and they do live wagering, I'll just tell you, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to know the team color, the team
right.
mascot,
yes.
the player on the team. You don't have to know anything. All you have to do is put side by side the sharp moving live wagering apps or sites versus a slower moving place like a Stations or a Boyd, which both have thrown me out. But anyway, I wasn't really, it is what it is. But however, that's one thing I wanted to talk about. The next thing I want to talk about, parity. The parity, I've been saying it since week two or three in the NFL. The parity of the NFL. Ever since San Fran was 5-0 and lost the next three games, people had him going to the Super Bowl. It continues. Last week in the NFL, as we've seen again, people thought Jacksonville was going to give San Fran a big game. They were coming off some nice wins across the pond, and they're playing so good. They're going to be the next big hot thing. They get blown away. So San Fran might be back. Who knows? However, the weeks before that, Cincinnati and Baltimore were the darlings of the NFL. I mean, I had guys calling me up from all around the country. Oh, my God, Baltimore to win the Super Bowl. What's the odds? They're playing so good. They're going to win the Super Bowl. Listen, it's affected Monday morning or Sunday night when the games are over. They don't realize it's going to be baked in the line already. It's going to be factored in that the public, Joe public at home, is going to be looking to bet Baltimore after coming off some big victories over Detroit and whoever else they beat. Of course, that's factored in already. Guys, don't be so square. Don't be so, our eyes play tricks on us. I say it all the time. You watch something on a weekend and the game's over and you think, oh my God, I got to do that next week. It's week to week. So I wanted to just tell you again, as we said there, Baltimore and Jacksonville. I'm sorry, Baltimore. Well, I'm at Jacksonville. Jacksonville, Baltimore, and Cincy both losing last week. I don't know who the darling of the NFL is. I don't know. Is it the Eagles? They've had some games they should have lost. They should have lost Week One versus New England. They should have lost to Washington. They not only that. Hold on. Kansas City lost to Denver. So, you know, any given Sunday, anything could happen. I can't tell you who's going to be in the Super Bowl, but I wouldn't be willing to take any low odds on any future books for odds to win the Super Bowl. I don't like taking them type of bets anyway, because I like to actually bet to a pool where it's a lot less juice being held. So the parity continues in the NFL. I just wanted to talk about that a little bit. People just think it's so easy. And, oh, my God, they're going to win. Go ahead, Gil.
No, you're 100% right. And I think the answer to your question is who's the darling. You'll get as many answers to as many people as you ask at this moment. Do you have anything, not to put you on the spot, but do you have anything on tonight's game? Did you bet anything in this game tonight, Ravens-Bengals?
You know what? I actually did. I actually like the I'm not in front of a screen now, so it's not fair to make people bet over 23 in the first half when I got over 22.5. You know, I think it's going to reverse the trend a little bit of all these unders in a row. Gil, how many unders do we have? 11 or so? How many in primetime games? Like, was it like a 11 or 12 or something? It's like a ridiculous amount of unders.
I don't know how those last two primetime games like got that. Under. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. Like, Sunday night and Monday night should never have been under, and somehow they got under. So, yeah.
It doesn't mean anything, by the way.
That's what I mean.
It's just a little bit of a trend that's happening. Actually, the line makers will actually put in a line that will try to buck that trend, because some people just bet under because they've been all going under. If anything, it should return to the mean. But I think we may see some points here. And maybe some first half points. And a lot of teams have been playing the scoreboard in the third and the fourth quarter this year more than ever. It seems like they're slowing down, running the ball, and literally running the clock out, where games have been staying under at a ridiculous pace. The bookmaker has adjusted these lines every single week to try to get some more over money. And sooner or later, it will reverse and return to the mean. So
we'll talk. Bill, appreciate it as always. Willing to come on the show in a parking lot in Tom's River, New Jersey. We appreciate
it. That's right.
Rental car. Thank you, Bill. Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krackenberger.
I love the Circuit City that used to be.
Circuit City, where the streets are paved with bargains.
Next to the Blockbuster.
That's right. Just got 1985 in here. Frank Schwab joins us from Yahoo. We'll talk NFL Week 11. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds. You know, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Vegas. That's code Vegas. The crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. We get some clarification tweets. I love it. It's so great when listeners to this show, we so appreciate sort of connect all the dots for us. Jeff Staples, no brick and mortar sportsbook yet at Tampa Hard Rock. Just the app, as you said. Just the app.
Yeah, the one I don't understand, because I had a friend in town from Florida this past weekend, and we were talking about it a bit. I don't really understand how you can bet on the app outside of the properties, which I think is the case.
I'm really
just questioning more than anything. Yeah. I don't really know.
Ruminations with Kelly Bill.
That's right, yeah.
Judd O'Connor. It's funny Bill brings up that topic with Darren Fox. Oh, the prop that he hit, but the people that he gave it to did not, and he was angry about it. He says, because Darren Fox, he said, had about 5 short-range jumpers in the last 4 minutes and missed them all and only got to 33 because he got fouled on his last attempt. Good win, bad beat for the others who lost on that. Let's see here. We go on with some of these. I want to get back to that game tonight, because we were talking in the first segment, for those who missed it, about sort of the varying things and a lot of checks in the Baltimore Ravens column, if you will. Again, they only trailed for a grand total of 28 minutes on the season. That's in 600 plus minutes of football. So they've just trailed in 28 minutes. And obviously, the reason for that is they get out to these monster first half leads, or lead nonetheless. And while I was admonished earlier for saying at 7-3, they could very well be 10-0. I shouldn't say they should be, because you're right, a gentleman who tweeted about this, at some point it does become a pattern that you can't close out these games, but they certainly could have been 10-0. It's a team that has had trouble holding on to the lead, but they are 8-2 against the spread in the first half, and usually I don't like to give out little nuggets like that because I think they're more descriptive than predictive. This one is kind of meaningful to me because they do get into this rhythm at home where they just take the soul out of the opponent with this running game. And as mentioned earlier, and we'll repeat some of this, the Bengals, while they are 12th in DVOA against the pass, Aaron Schatz proprietary stat over there at FTN, they're 29th against the run. That feeds right into the Ravens' strength. And again, the Ravens are first in rush DVOA. The Bengals are not good against running quarterbacks. Fourth most yards per game allowed to that position by the Bengals. Lamar Jackson falls right into that, into their web. And so not good for the Bengals. Lamar Jackson has won 7 of his 8 career starts against the Bengals. He's averaged 79.5 rushing yards in those 8 starts. Bengals aren't good versus tight ends. Mark Andrews is a strength. So there's a lot of things to go in the Ravens column, but the Bengals, as we mentioned, as a dog of 3 or more the last 3 years, 12-0-1 ATS with Joe Burrow, 9-4 straight up. So throw that as a countermeasure to this game where the Ravens are 3.5-point favorites and the total is 46.5. Frank Schwab now joins us from Yahoo Sports to discuss this game and others. How you doing, Frank?
Doing good, Gil. How about you, man?
Doing very well. Do you have a bet on this game tonight in a huge AFC North clash?
I do, and I'm a little worried about it. Let's put it that way. I like the Ravens a lot, but I just know that hook is there, and I'm just worried about that. It's an AFC North game. Probably going to end up as a 3-point game, right? That's what these do. But a few reasons I really like the Ravens. I think the two Bengals injuries are, I know the Ravens have injuries too with Humphrey and Stanley, but T. Higgins, Sam Hubbard, those are massive injuries for the Bengals. You saw them really suffer without those guys last week. And I just honestly trust the Ravens still being an elite team. We've seen that at moments from the Bengals this year, but not consistently like we have the Ravens. Yeah, they lost last week. You don't want to lose a game like that. You know, I lose a quarterback with a broken shoulder and a high ankle sprain in the second half. I get that, but I still trust the Ravens as being one of those elite teams at home. I like the Ravens a lot, but I'm worried that I'm going to end up with a ticket that loses by a half point.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of fantasy players have already hip to Keaton Mitchell, and a lot of props players are hip to him, but he's a undrafted free agent out of East Carolina who is so fast, and the Ravens had him on the practice squad earlier in the year. I think they're going to step him up each and every game moving forward, including tonight.
And by the way, Gil, the Bengals tight end, I cannot remember his name off the top of my head. He's been getting a lot of run the last 2 or 3 weeks. Keep an eye on him with your props too, because I think those numbers are pretty low.
Okay, you're talking about is that
Sample? I believe it is
Sample.
Is it
Sample? Yes, Sample.
Yeah, he's been getting a lot of run the last couple weeks. Keep an eye on him without T. Higgins in the game. He might have a really nice night.
What are your favorite bets week 11 in its entirety? What do you like this weekend?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I looked at this slate. I was like, these are some tough games. This is one of the tougher weeks I've seen in many weeks. The one that stood out to me was the Steelers. And I know it's just square. It's easy, right? Like I'm betting against a rookie quarterback. But DTR was so bad for the Browns the first time around that I just don't see him moving the ball against the Steelers defense. I know the Steelers, their regression's coming. They're really way out in front of their record. They're this year's Vikings, all that kind of stuff. But when I looked at how Dorian Thompson-Robinson played last time against the Ravens, they just couldn't move the ball. They straight up looked like a college offense at that point. He had 121 yards on 37 attempts, I believe. And I don't see it being any different this time around. I think they should have gone to P.J. Walker, even though P.J. Walker is not that great. But they win with DTR. I think the Steelers are just going to eat him alive. I was actually pretty surprised. It's still, you know, -1 Browns, pick them, whatever it shall be at various places, because I just don't see any way that the Browns move the ball against the Steelers.
Yeah, I boy, I just still, I don't know if it's my my Malcolm Gladwell blink thing on this game. I just feel like the Browns somehow figure it out. But you're right about, I mean, look, the Steelers.
They're going to rally around that kid. They're going to rally around that kid, and they're going to play as well as they can. I just don't think they can move the ball.
Can you imagine if the Steelers, let's just say you're right. Let's say the Steelers win this. The 7-3 Pittsburghs. Like, are you kidding me?
They're such a fugazi. They're such a fugazi. They are. They are so. I could not believe my colleague Scott Pianowski texted me last week. He was like, "Do you know the Steelers have been outgained in every game?" And I trust him on everything. And I was like, "You're wrong. I got to look this up." And I was like, "How is this even possible that a team with a winning record has been outgained in every single game?" It's going to be an ugly game. And you know what? You might be right. The Browns might pull this out. But I'll trust the Steelers. I'll trust Tomlin. I'll trust that defense. And they're probably going to win like 9-6 or something like that.
I would like to see an old AFC North slobber knocker game like that. I would like that.
Oh, my goodness.
By the way, I read your you guys at Yahoo put out your little recaps. Not your little recaps, but your written recaps after the games. I quite enjoy them, by the way. I love yours. And I'm curious, just a sort of inside baseball question for 20 seconds. Was there a sort of company thing this year where they were like, make it more conversational? Because it used to be like really hard news, factoid kind of things. And you guys are throwing in more of your opinion now, aren't you? Am I imagining that?
I always have, because I'm a loudmouth who can't, you know, I like the tone of his own voice, I guess. But maybe people have followed that lead, because I'll tell you what I think, whether I'm right or wrong. And I'm wrong a lot, Kill. So, but I like it. It's what it's about, man. It's what we're talking ball. It's supposed to be fun, isn't it?
I quite enjoy it, man. You do a great job. What else besides your instinct on the Steelers? What do you like?
You know, I'm kind of wondering about the Titans. Every time we write the Titans off, and I do this all the time, I was really, really low on the Titans before the season. I think I had them 28th in my power rankings, and everybody gave me a hard time. Oh, my God, how could you possibly be this low on the Titans? But that said, every time I'm like, yep, I was right. The Titans are terrible. They always come back and have a good performance. The full seven with the Jaguars, who have been a bad home team. I don't get this split they have. Like, their yards per play on the road versus home is startling. I don't get what the deal is with the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville, but they're not the same team at home. I just kind of feel like the Titans, they rise up and they cover here at least. And maybe win, who knows, because Mike Vrabel does that a lot. I thought seven was just a little too disrespectful to a Titans team that usually competes. They didn't last week, but I think they bounce back this week. Yeah. I just thought the full seven with the Jaguars was way too much.
This is one of these weeks, Kelly, and I'll talk about it here after the break. But it's, again, you know, I do a Megapod after this, which you've been kind enough to come on, which is it's three plays.
Yeah.
That's hard enough in these.
How do you get the three?
Like, how do you get to five in these contests? Like, that's the real one. So I'm looking to fill that fourth and fifth spot. Give me one more before you go here that you like.
Maybe the Bills, just as a, you know, I mean, everything's against them. They fire the coordinator. Their luck has been so bad, right? Like, I get that. Like, I'm disappointed with the Bills. They were my Super Bowl pick, so I'm going to be a little harder on them. But I also realize that they have had a string of bad luck. I mean, dumb penalties and fumble luck and all this kind of stuff. And they are much better in that 5-5 record. One of these weeks, they're just going to put it on some team. They're just going to put it on them 45-7. I don't know that necessarily you could do that this week. It's going to be hard against that Jets defense, but fire the offensive coordinator's a wake-up call for everybody. I don't like laying 7 against that Jets defense. I really don't. But when I'm looking across the landscape, I'm struggling like you to come up with just 5 games. Maybe the Bills are one in kind of that spot.
4-5 have been difficult, that's for sure. Frank, always appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Gil.
Frank Schwab, everybody, covers the NFL and sports betting for Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Yahoo Schwab. That's a nice little Twitter handle he got himself. Kelly and I will come back. Our thoughts on Week 11 right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many games on the board, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today and get your first 30 days for only $19. To see everything VSiN has to up your betting game, visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D here in beautiful, and I do mean beautiful, downtown Las Vegas. I just want to read this one tweet, Kelly, because it's like the baller tweet of the morning.
The baller.
This is from somebody calling himself Max Cash.
All right. Hashtag
Max,
baller tweet of the morning on a numbers game.
Baller tweet of the morning. Max Cash. He says, are there protocols sports books should take to protect players that consistently go to them carrying and leaving with lots of cash? As someone who goes into a sports book of every day coming and leaving with high five figures, I feel a tad unsafe. Max Cash.
Baller tweet.
Baller tweet.
Hashtag baller tweet.
Max is like, I am packing.
What's beyond first world problems?
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, to answer your question seriously, though, Max, they
you can always request security.
You can always request that. I always do the joke when someone like wins a $20 bet. I'm like, do you need security? Get out of here. Like, I always do that.
Right, yeah.
But like, some people really are carrying lots of cash. And I don't think the sportsbook is not going to offer it up to you unless you request it, is basically the answer.
Yeah, that's true. I think I've brought this up with you before, but probably forever ago. I don't know about you, but one of the weirdest parts of moving out to Vegas and seeing how the casinos were run out here compared to the few that I frequented in South Florida, was that South Florida, there's always cops. There are cops like in the parking lot everywhere. Yes, there is a police presence that if you get into a position where you are carrying a lot of money out, you feel a little bit safer. You don't really get that in a lot of the places here. I mean, obviously everything on the strip, you're not really walking to many parking lots anyways, but you don't really have that in Vegas so much because they rely on internal security way more than some of those other places.
I mean, I have done on the occasions where I do have a lot of money. And if I'm walking out of the sports with a lot of money, when I used to spend all my summers, well, not all my summers, but a period of summers at the Hard Rock a decade ago in the early part of the 2010s.
Hashtag Gil Glory Days.
HRH Gil, as Joe Fordenbaugh calls me. There was a guy, I remember him, and I remember his name because his name happened to be Michael Jackson. It was not the Michael Jackson, but it was another guy named Michael Jackson. I remember he got jacked in the parking lot.
Yeah, it's scary.
But I remember thinking and saying to him, or at least we did amongst friends, we were like, you got to be more careful, man. And so on the occasions where I do walk out of there with a lot, if I was at a hotel, there has been a time or two where I've actually taken an elevator upstairs, walked a hallway and taken an elevator down before I leave the building.
Yep. Just in case anybody's.
If someone were on you, and I'm really being serious about
right,
this, if
no,
someone
I hear
were
you.
On you, if they had eyes on you, that they would stop caring. And even if they saw you come down, they'd be like, well, he was upstairs. He let go of his money. I know people who have had people follow them to their rooms. Mm-hmm. You just always have to be careful about that kind of stuff. But the responsibility ultimately lands on you. Nobody's going to help you unless you say something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think that I think a lot of what you just said is just good life advice in general.
Just in general.
I mean,
keep your head on a swivel.
Especially when, you know, people come out here on big vacations. Like, we always talk about, like, what's the biggest thing you always talk about when you talk about hedging? Is it amount of money that is life-changing amount of money? Okay, maybe we're talking in some of these circumstances about that kind of money, but people come out here on vacation all the time to do a lot of gambling that bring a lot more money than you would just go around your normal hometown with, right? So, like, some of those tips are good just for the average, you know, tourist.
Well, you hit on something there, too. There are certain areas where folks are going to be, and God bless them, by the way, because I wish I could live in that kind of, you know, in an area where there was less crime than others. There are going to be folks who are more, I don't know if naive is the right word, because that has a connotation to it.
No, I know.
But just less street smart than others, right? Listen, when I moved from D.C. to San Francisco, I remember I used to have the club on my car in D.C. because you could not have the club in D.C. I remember when I did in San Francisco, they would laugh at me. They were like, what are you doing? Yeah, I was like, you guys don't use these clubs on your car?
Oh, my God. Those are hilarious. Now we're like back in the mid-90s. Yeah.
But, yeah, that was Webby. That was way back when. But
you get like the rental car, too, with the automatic seatbelt thing. Like how that technology fell by the wayside.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just good advice. I'm glad, actually, Was it Max Cash? Yeah. I'm glad you actually said that because it's good advice for people.
I feel like your little elevator move and like walk around for a bit. I've done that one time. If I had to do that one time with sports bet winnings where I had a weird feeling.
I had a weird feeling.
I'll tell you the one where I've had to do that more with though, and or kind of had an eye over my shoulder. It's not when you're betting against a casino, right? It's when you're in a poker room betting against people and you're taking their money off them at the card table.
They got a little resentment.
There's some people that have gotten pissed off before at a card table I've been at that I'm a little way more concerned about than some random dude in the casino.
That's true too, for sure. Week 11 National Football League before we get out of here today, and we'll do full football tomorrow. Matt Brown will join us for multiple segments to talk NFL Week 11 in depth, his thoughts on his plays. But the task here is also, oh, by the way, next week on the show, I don't know if you know this, Al Bernstein will join us, talk boxing. Oh,
nice.
A little boxing with Al Bernstein, the legendary announcer. Who's going to be on the show to talk boxing with us. And there's a new, have you heard about this new show called Bookie? Are you familiar with this?
Oh, yes, I have, yeah.
So Bookie, which...
I want to say Bill brought it up last week.
Did he? Okay, so it stars... Maybe Maybe off air he did. It stars Sebastian Maniscalco and Charlie Sheen, among others. And it's set to premiere on HBO Max, or as the kids are calling it these days, just Max, on November 30th. We will have Nick Bakay on the show. Nick Bakay, who is the showrunner, I believe, on this. I believe that's his title. Chuck Lorre is the creator of this, but Nick Bakay is heavily involved. Nick's been on the show before, not only to tell great, hilarious O.J. Simpson stories, but he was also one of the pioneers of betting on ESPN. For those of a certain age, you remember before betting was even uttered, before the word betting or point spreads were even uttered on ESPN, he was the guy that did this bit, and it was a retroactive thing on the previous weekend of the NFL. And it would actually be a bad beats thing with him and his wife, but mainly him, where the thing people will remember is he'd be advantage push. Advantage, right? Like he was a big thing. So Nick Bakay will be on with us to talk Bookie, the HBO series that's coming up with Sebastian Maniscalco, great comic, and of course Charlie Sheen. So we look forward to that. Tomorrow, full football. But as far as filling out our contest plays this week, and the gentleman asked me earlier, hey, want to give a preview of some of your Megapod picks, which I'm about to record with Will Hill, Todd Wishnev, and Cleve TA from Twitter, who's awesome. I think I'm just going again with my guessing lines instincts.
Yep.
I still like the Browns. I know what Frank Schwab was just saying. I still like the Browns as a pick 'em going up against the Steelers at home. That defense is still awesome, and the Steelers are still a mirage. So I think DTR gets it done, and I like the Vikings catching the points against the Broncos. Beyond that, I'm having a lot of trouble, man.
Me too. Me too.
Having a lot of trouble.
I mean, the problem is it's been the past couple. It's a couple weeks in a row now, and that's it's really been how my contest has gone too. A couple weeks in a row that have been pretty bad, and now you've passed me in the standings. That flipped really quick.
And I think as far as tonight's game would you not want to include tonight's game based on all you said about the Ravens? But then I did have a counter of the Joe Burrow thing. I think if anything, the play tonight, which is not a contest eligible pick, mm-hmm. is the first half on the Ravens tonight. I think that's what I end up playing in real life tonight, but that's not a contest play.
Gotcha. Yeah. And just to clear up the game tonight first, I did play a little bit of Bengals plus 3.5. I think the one that's funny, I was doing this while the last segment while you were talking to Bill, trying to find anybody with a rushing prop up on Keaton Mitchell for carries.
Oh, yeah.
Can't find it because he's only carried the ball. I think it's like 9 carries has.
You know they're going to keep putting him in.
And Harbaugh talked about giving him the ball more this week. So there is a yardage prop up there. I wanted to see an actual carries number. I don't see it, though. I would be looking at the over, though. I think they are going to work him in much more this game than what we've seen in the past. I'm with you, though. I think that this is one of those situations where, Circa Millions, whatever contest you might pick them, contest that you might be in, too. It becomes interesting because I actually think I'd play this tonight, Gil, if I was sold on 4 other picks on Sunday, right? But there's just too much that could go on between now and Sunday. Like, there's only a couple I've got in mind
that
I'm actually going to play this
week. But that's a great point, though, for contest strategy. And Steve Fezzik, who's as great a contest player as there is, the only back-to-back winner at the Hilton Super Contest, and is in second place right now in Circa, his first tenet of contest playing is try to get as perfect information as possible. What does that mean? That means wait as long as you possibly can till the deadline on Saturday. And you're right. If you had four plays, and maybe this was the fifth, but right now, we see it every day. Some stuff comes up that we had no idea was brewing underneath.
I think the other one, real quick, I'll just bring up because yes, I think based off guessing lines, like Dolphins, no matter what number that settles at, will probably end up being a contest play, even though it won't be a bet for me. The Justin Fields news is moving this number more than I thought it would. I'm just going to put it like that. I mean, we're down from what, 10 to 7.5
10 to 7.5.
I like Fields, but
that's a good thought.
Come on.
We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.